Hello, hello, Next on Scene, becoming Next on Scene listeners. I can't believe we are closing out a decade. It is the last podcast of 2019, and we are on to 2020. We have an awesome guest who's closing out our decade. But before we get into our guest, I want to thank you all so much for your support to this point of tuning into our, you know, weekly, if not bi-weekly episodes. We have such an awesome lineup, not only today, but into 2020, such inspiring, kick-ass entrepreneurs really taking over the world. So excited to have them showcase on Becoming Next on Scene's podcast. We have a lot of things and goals we want to perceive over the next decade. But, you know, we're good with the small goals because the small goals lead to the really big goals. And it's good to always think big because how do you get to the big places if you don't think that way, right? Got to start somewhere. So before I bring on my amazing guest and describe and tell you all about him, which I'm sure if you are a regular listener, you know who this amazing guest is once I tell you about him. But before that, I think it's really important to reflect on how long a decade is and how much you can grow, not only in a year, but in a decade. Like, who were you 10 years ago? Because the same person, you know, if we're thinking really spiritually, the same person you were yesterday is not the same person you are today. You can change your mindset and the way you approach things within a heartbeat, right? So cool. That is so cool. So Jackie 10 years ago, thinking about how I'm different day to day, I'm like, Jackie 10 years ago is not the same Jackie now. Like, 10 years ago, I was in college. I was still single. And I was on my own with my roommate at the time, and life wasn't great. I was working for my brother, and I was, I think 21 is such a weird age. You're like finally legal to drink, but you're like limited. And I mean, it was fun when I was promoting nightclubs and getting people in, and that felt pretty cool and legit. But outside of that, I mean, you know, you're looking back, you're like, wow, being older and so much more independent is so much more fun. I mean, 10 years later, you can create a full-blown business. You can create a magazine. You can get on a podcast. You can create your own podcast. You can have events. You can do whatever you want, right? That is the motto of 2020. Do whatever you want. That is my motto. So, I can't wait to see you all crush it. And, I think my goal for all of these amazing guests that are coming on is you can create your reality. Like, whatever you want to happen in this life can be created, and it starts with the right mindset. So use the motto I gave you, and you got this. So who is my amazing guest? Drum roll. My amazing guest is former Henry Roth. Now he's back to his maiden name, Henry Weinreich. Oh my God, I'm sorry, Henry. I'm so not good with pronouncing your last name, so you can correct me. But Henry is launching a new book, The Stories I Told My Son with His Awesome Father, which is so exciting. So I'm so excited to interview Henry about his latest venture. Some of you might know Henry from being a bridal designer, exclusive luxury bridal designer, exclusive to Kleinfeld's, and he also sells across the U.S. He's been featured on the international show Say Yes to the Dress. He was also a mentor on Project Runway Australia and was the fashion correspondent for the Today Show Australia, as they have one in New York. He was also on Fashion Police with Joan Rivers. He is awesome. So excited to have Henry on. Really, really excited for you guys to all get to know this rock star. So stay tuned for the amazing Henry.
The ups, the downs, and all the in-between. What it takes to become Next on Scene. Are you next? Follow us at Next on Scene.
All right, everybody, I officially have the amazing Henry Weinreich on the line. Hi, Henry, how are you today?
Look, I'm fantastic, Jackie, and how are you doing?
good. It is so awesome to have seen all of your successes now with your amazing book coming out, The Stories I Told My Son, with your father. So tell us all about, you know, what are your new chapters? Like, tell us about this new beginning for you.
Well, before I start, I'd like to also say that you've been very inspiring to me, Jackie. And I think everybody that you're growing group or network. You know, just recently I was looking at some of your posts and I must compliment you. I mean, you have a growth that stretches all around the world. And it's nice that you know that you've got a pretty major bastion here in the South Pacific region, specifically in the Australasia area, me being based in Sydney. And, you know, there are international companies all over this country. And you've got a bit of a, not a bit of a, but you have a wonderful enriched group of people that talk about you and cross-pollinate with you and also a part of your membership. So I just want to say to you, congratulations, and that I'm honored to be interviewed today.
So happy to have you. And it has been, thank you very much, by the way. And it has been such an honor to have you on to talk about your amazing ventures. This is such a big deal. And you're covering so much history. So it's so exciting.
Yes. Okay, so so the question was about, you know, tell you a little bit more about new chapters. I think the interesting thing is, Jackie, as you are a reflection of that and a reflection of what we're all about, I think, in this globe, and that is the days of not being multifaceted are over. You know, the days when, say, my dad, possibly your dad, you know, it was like one profession, you had maybe three jobs in that profession, you got a gold watch and a handshake, and thank you very much, and that's what it was not that long ago. Today, we have to be the master of everything. Breadth and depth is really important. So it's about being multifaceted. You know, I look at what I have contributed already in my own little world, and that is the tools of entertainment. You know, I had my high highs in my career in the media business with being the mentor on Project Runway Australia. I also did my own show in America in 2003-2004 called Style Court. I was Judge Henry Roth. I have worked with luminaries like Joan Rivers, Walter Cronkite. I've had interviews with, you know, a myriad of people. And then additionally, I'm also known as being a bridal designer. But there's a lot of things that people don't know about me and probably about you and about people that are listening that make you realize there's other bows to my fiddle. I have a law degree. I love writing. I used to, when I lived in New York, did slam poetry. And, you know, as you go through different chapters in life, you start to look around and you think, what's the meaning of it? You know, we're going into a whole new decade. We're in a new decade. And the bottom line is that we want to really embrace the trends and the movements and what's meaningful. So for me, it's always been meaningful to go back to my roots. My roots are, my parents are Holocaust survivors in a positive way, if there's such a thing. They are not just survivors, they're thrivers. And the most important thing is that the ethical DNA of my family needed to be told. And so one day I just approached my dad and I said, listen, his name is Joseph, but his nickname is Reggie, right? I'm like, listen, Reggie, 93, by the way, runs circles around me. We're going to sit down. Oh, you have no idea, Jackie. Oh, you do.
I do. I watch him on your Facebook lives. You guys are adorable. I love it.
That's right, because you commented at the end. And so I said, we're going to sit down and we're going to get out my laptop. We're going to throw on the record button and I'm going to interview you because you've got all these stories and hence we're three quarters of the way through The Stories I Told My Son.
So cool. So obviously, when did this even come about that you sat down with them? Because writing a book takes a lot of time. So how long ago was this?
Yes, I consider it to be the new business card for the new decade.
I love it. Love that phrase, by the way. That is so cool.
I do. And I think, Jackie, it's like you don't go into writing a book thinking, I'm going to make a lot of money out of this. You never do. It's got to be a passion. You have to have a unique perspective. You need to understand the market, which is easy. You Google, you understand what's going around. And we'll get to the reasons about why, personally, for me, it was important. But what happened was my father's not getting younger. And all of a sudden, I did about a mea culpa. And I thought to myself, all these years, I'm like, don't tell me the stories now. They're too long. You know, they're not relevant to me. Can I get the shortened version? And I thought, what an absolute hide. Here I had gold. And I just woke up one day and I thought, you know, I'm now over 50. I'm thinking, what's next? What meaning do I give to the world? We're very confronted these days and we want to be challenged by positive, not negative. And I thought, it's time I actually said to my father, I'm sorry. You are here in front of me and I'm really glad I don't regret that I have to live with not sitting down with you. I tell you, when I think about that, I get emotional because I think, can you imagine that might have not been, this might not have happened.
Totally.
And, you know, so I just like, and he was like, of course I can sit down with you.
I picture him, you know, totally. Wait, so I have to ask you this question. So his name is, where did Reggie come from?
Look, when we were in America, you know what it's like in the States.
What it's like in the States. Okay, I want to hear.
Sorry, you've got to upsell yourself, okay?
Yeah.
You've got to upsell yourself. See, in America, you know what? You guys are born and you come out marketing. It's just how you are. And I love that. That's, you know, I lived in New York for 15 years. That's why I think I suited it quite well at the time. And the bottom line is that, you know, we were doing this big meeting. It was a bridal meeting and everything. And we didn't want to exactly say that it was our father coming. You know, Michelle and I, Michelle's still at Kleinfeld Bridal. But I mean, for God's sake, I look like my father completely. But we were deluded. And so they said, who's coming? You know, who's arriving? And we're like, oh, you know, the regional director of Australia is coming, you know, for this meeting. And it shortened to Reggie. And that was 1978.
That is hysterical. What a great story.
Yeah. He's, and you know what, he's Reggie till today, Reggie, Reginald. And he said to me the other day, I'm really upset. I said, what are you upset about, Reggie? No one calls me Joseph, I said. How would they know how to call you
Joseph? It's so true. Nobody knows him as that, no. Right? It's so funny. No.
That's the power of branding. That
it
is. The power of branding.
There you go. That is hysterical. Yes. So okay.
Yes, okay.
No, I want to continue with some questions.
Yes,
so
yes.
What is, so obviously I think we kind of know the main reason you're writing this book, to really bring back your parents' legacy. But from a personal standpoint, like, you're really telling it through your father, right? So can you elaborate more on what your goals are?
Okay, that's a really good question. Yeah, that's a really good question. So it's basically the stories I told my son, Joseph Weinreich Memoirs, authored by Henry Roth. And the goals, and what's the motivation? So the motivation, look, of course I want our family to have that as a Bible for the rest of eternity. You know, I come from 180 years of rabbis, God bless me.
Wow.
I found out, and you know, in Google, it's like incredible. My father was crying because like we found all these pictures and it's in archive and you know, there's amazing things. He says, I love technology. So I come from actually a Chatam Sofer Shriver, which was the head rabbi of the early 19th century of Orthodox Judaism. So I have a bit like, you know, they're upstairs going, okay, so what are you doing? So yes, there's the heritage side, there is. But I'm going to be honest with you as well. There's also the professional and business side of me. And I kind of looked to it tonight, and I think this will resonate with anyone that wants to leverage their own career. And honestly, I said to my father, you realize I'm not just doing it for 6 people to read or 25 people to read this book. I've been on media all my life. I want to use that. I want to use my reality TV show experience and write it like a movie, total cliffhanger all the way. He said to me, you take the nuggets and do what you like. So for me, that's how I see it as a business card. People know me as entertainment. They know me as Prof and Frilly. I want to get now this part of my life. I want to make a ethical statement. And my ethical statement means that people have to take me more seriously. You can't force somebody. I can't say to you, listen, Jackie, you need to now take me seriously. You go, all right, next. That's 2 seconds. You know, with boop, 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 boop. What I can do is I can say to you, as I have, and that's why you invited me on, I said, look, Jackie, I'm authoring this book and it's a business card. Would you be interested? If I said to you, Fluff, it wouldn't be as interesting. So it's a leverage, it is business, it is heritage, it's a soul Bible, but it's also, I believe, a wonderful business card.
Totally.
People, I think, will look at it differently. Me differently.
I really like that take, like that it's the new business card. Except there's a lot of more, there's a lot of work that goes into authoring a book versus a business card.
Right. You know, that's a brilliant, now you like the theme of business cards. That is brilliant. You're like, okay, this is the business card I got organized.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You want to talk about an elaborative business card. That is one for sure.
Well, look, you know yourself, because, you know, the truth is we do follow each other's posts. You know what it's like? You know, the other day a friend said to me, did you read such and such on my post? I'm like, definitely didn't read a thing. I look at, you know, I definitely didn't read it, and I'm never going to read it. I'm going to look at your images, right? So you and I, like, I caught you one day, I swear, I was just doing minding my own business here in Sydney, Australia, and I'm looking at these images on my computer. I'm like, oh, that looks it. You know, it's just, it's like it has to catch you, right?
Totally.
So I thought, this thing was flashing in front of me. I'm like, God, that looks really interesting. There's lots of excitement. I look closer, it was you.
I am honored. I know, that was so much fun. I'm so honored. And who better to look at the dresses than you, dress designer?
Well, I have to say, I did a little bit of a side commentary there, but the truth is, okay, so we're asking us, you know, what does it really take? Because, you know, glamour is lovely, but it's not printing, it's not designing and printing a business card in an hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I'm going to ask you later on whether you must do your book, because I will absolutely read your book. That book will be a bestseller. Oh my God, there's a business there, Jackie.
Oh my God, anyway. You're so awesome. You're my PR person, Henry. I gotta say. You're my PR
the
person.
Zoom business of, the Zoom business of Jackie Zook. Oh yeah.
Oh my God, you're so funny.
Anyway, so I think the thing is, this is now when the serious bit gets in. And I think, again, those people that hopefully assisting in motivating that inner author in them. Because everybody has that at some point. We want our words to be read. We do. We want to be noticed. We want to make a difference. We want to impact personally and emotionally. We want that. So what I have to tell you is, personally for me, everyone has their own inner athlete. Some people go to the gym and work out like things, like I could never do that. Some people do law degrees. Some people do whatever it is. Each and every one of us has an inner athlete.
Mm-hmm.
My inner athlete, and by the way, I've gone back to the gym because, like, if I'm going to be publishing a book, I'm getting rid of the baby fat.
Love it.
I'm seeing you looking like that, and other people, my friends, are like, you know, you're going to have to get rid of the baby fat. People will not take you seriously.
The warm weather in Australia helps, though. I feel like the winter over here in the U.S. is kind of like, oh God, we're going to eat everything.
It's brutal. I know. It goes on and on. But then again, I look at all my friends and my professional colleagues in you know, when you guys are doing summer, I'm like, anyway. So I think the thing is that my inner athlete is my law degree. And I have to say, I never utilize my law degree more than I have done it now. And that is good for people to understand, for those people who are joining us. And by the way, you have such a group of people that join you. I'm glad to be one of them. But the truth of the matter is that, it takes a lot.
It does.
Inner athlete, and you know what? You got to smell the fear. You got to taste the anger. You got to feel like, it's almost like, I hate to use this analogy, there's almost like your nails are bleeding from, I know that sounds dramatic,
no,
but it's what it takes.
Analogy, yeah. It makes sense.
It is. You've got to have discipline. You have to have tenacity. You have to be prepared that you're going to lose all your friends, but you don't, because ultimately, when you come up the air, you know, I've really isolated myself.
No, I'm sure that was going to be my next. I know that's what I. So I have to ask this next question. So from start to finish, how long did it take you to complete this book?
Okay, so we're at the point where I'm now doing rewrites, and may I never bless anybody to do rewrites, because rewrites will kill you if it doesn't make you stronger. That's how tough it is. Rewrites are a killer. So I'm actually, I'll just say this to you. There's been some fantastic nibbles. That's all I'm saying. And so I have a deadline, but all up it was, I would say, you've got to allow 18 months. You've really got to allow 18 months. Because that's just me. But you know, that's this kind of book. I've already got the second book and the third book in mind already. So the thing is, honestly, Jackie, the second book, I mean, I can say to you now, so how long does it take me this time? All up, 18 months until we've pitched already publishers. We're going to be presenting. We've got some great little nibbles, and that's all I'll say. And but 18 months, because it is what it is, and that's full time. But if you're doing something like a guide, or if you're doing something like, you know, what it took for me to get my first step in the door of my, you know, being a CEO, or you know, even if you are not even if you're middle management, what it took to get to the next step, people want to know. Mm-hmm. That, I believe, is not 18 months.
Right.
And the thing, and I'm going to outline for you guys in a moment what was good about what I did and what was a big mistake of what I did. Not mistake, but what was time consuming. So you've got to have the time, you know, and you've got to be able to understand you're going to be isolated, but your isolation doesn't exist. Because can I tell you something spooky and weird but fabulous? The book becomes your best friend. You don't need friends.
I like that analogy, time. Spooky and weird but fabulous at the same time. You're funny.
Yeah. So does that resonate to you? Like, for example, if totally. You were to write a book, your book would be what? What kind of book do you think you would write? Seriously.
Being your own boss, like creating yeah, the right. life you want.
Right. So mm-hmm. let's take you for an example. If you say to me, okay, Henry, I want to write my book now. What would you advise? So I'd say to you, first of all, Jackie, you're going to do your research, which you would probably know your market inside out. You're going to see
similar publications. Yep.
Similar publications. You're going to look at your current schedule, and you're going to carve out a disciplined time every day that you're going to do it, and you're going to sacrifice something because of that, because you can only be one person at a time, number mm-hmm. one. The next thing is you chart out in bullet point what will make your publication unique, because that's everything, okay? And the beautiful thing is people, like somebody said to me, oh, you know, people have read Holocaust stories and they've read refugee stories, and why is it unique? I said, it's unique because it's from my perspective.
Right.
So your perspective will be unique.
Because everybody has their own experience. Totally makes sense.
And look what yep. you've done. I love your running line. When we first did our first business transaction, you said, well, Henry, I'm going to be really honest with you. I started from my, you know, bedroom
closet. Yep.
Yeah. And I'm like, Jackie, I don't even want to think what that looks like.
Time so flies, Henry. Saying. I'm still doing it from there, though. It's okay.
Yeah, so that, and that's why you're successful. And that's why you're successful, mm-hmm. because you've kept to your roots. So anyway, so you do that. And then the next thing is you have to do what's called a chapter arc, a story arc. And so the story arc is you just basically do, you know, the running draft order of what each chapter would be titled, and then within each chapter you will need to mark out what are the basic things that you want to hit, and that's how you start dividing it up. Now I didn't do it that way, and I'll tell you, the second book I am so doing it that way,
right? Because now you know how to save time. Now you know how to save time.
Oh my god, the amount of retypes I didn't even, and then you've got to be super organized. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, what if you're not, like, I don't know about you, I actually do all my work on my phone with my thumbs on my notepad thingy, and I've transferred over to my Google Docs. All my thumbs, yeah.
Very I'm impressive, by the way. Very impressive.
Well, no, because I'm a terrible typer. Like, you know yourself. And I have a bit of dyslexia going, so I need to see every bloody word.
Yeah, I get that.
But for you again, it would be, you know, you do that. And then you do the portions, and you do what you feel like. So now you've got like a menu. So think about it as like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You might feel like writing about X, Y, and Z on one day. And so you can then, so that's all good. The trick, of course, then is that you're doing overlaps. So you've got to be so careful about overlaps. The amount of overlaps and the amount of necessary words I have written not using that process will kill me.
You made it through, though. That's all that matters, right? That's all that matters.
So I'm glad that I can impart this information. And here's another essential. I have a group of three people around me, a team. Now, somebody might be saying, look, I'm an executive. I've just started out my job. That's all very nice to you, Henry Weinreich. But, you know, and my brand is Henry Roth. But, you know, you have the money. And I can understand that. There is a certain amount of money, but there's also amazing compassion, and people want to be involved. So I'll tell you who my team is, if you don't mind. I have sitting in Sydney, Australia, Paris Cutler, who's really well known. She was like the Martha Doyen of cakes in Australia, but not just cakes, couture business.
I remember. I know. She's so impressive. I've seen all her stuff. So cool.
She's extraordinary. And she wrote 5 books. And we started doing a business together. And then I branched down and I had to do this. And I said, listen, consult to me. So that young lady, business entrepreneur, is extraordinary. And that poor thing sits with me every week. And we go through it.
Well, goes, that's love. That's best friends.
Yeah, you know? It's also, it's a contract. It's a love, but she goes way beyond the contract because you couldn't pay somebody to do how much. That's her. And it's like every week you do, and when she says, and I can just tell straight away, it's not reaching the mark because from her expressions, right? So I'm like, oh, I have to now rewrite this. And she goes, yep, you do. Then I have sitting in New York City an extraordinary young lady by the name of Kim Taylor, and she's amazing, amazing. Now, it's essential. I want to have a cross breadth of professionalism. She is amazing in her editing, and you know, I can use a word or too many, and she's like, she's tough, and sometimes I'm like, oh, Kim, I don't know if I actually love you today. To myself, I don't know that I love you.
You need your opposite to do this. Yes, exactly.
And here's that's right. So advising you, yes. And the thing is, you learn humility, because the thing is, I'm thinking to myself, if I want a mirror, I just can go to my living room and I can just stare at myself.
Right.
That's not what it's about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but I love her. No, I tell her all the time. I appreciate her. My father, and then I have, you know, how you have this concept called, so that's Kim in New York City, and her, both Paris and her have, and this third person that I'm going to talk about in a moment, have one thing in common, a voracious professionalism. You have to have people, A grade. This is an A grade. This is you. Every word that somebody's going to read is about, say yours was your book, Jackie, is your word.
Right.
And you're going to write it. And then the third thing is, you know, you have secret shoppers. You know, like they go, I have a secret reader.
I love it. That's amazing. I didn't even know there was a thing.
I made it a thing.
Oh my God. I love it.
So I'll tell you how my secret, and I told him I'm taking him out of the secret reader closet. It's too, I'm over it. I am over it because he's Canadian and he's from Calgary. He's like my brother, and I've got a brother and a sister, Peter and Christiana McAleer. And I have to say to them, you could, and that's a love project. I married them. I actually married them in America a few years ago. And we're like brothers and sisters. And they, I said, look, would you mind? I said, I don't want to drink my own Kool-Aid. Would you mind participating? He said he would be honored. And that poor man has been subjugated to a flood of words. So Paris, Kim, and Peter. And he's Canadian, you know? So I love Canadians. Like, well, you know, I don't want my name credited on the book. I'm like, you are so having your name credited on the book.
Totally.
So I think overall, again, my advice would be to you, but look at the team of people that you have around you, not because you've been twiddling your thumbs, because you created a network, and I'm proud to be part of that network. And so the most important thing is that you have to be part of that network, and that network, you of all people, would have that. And so you would be surprised. Anyone would be surprised when they sit down, who do they want to participate? They need professional help. So the person has got no budget. So you have an intern. You have somebody that wants to make their career with you. Mm-hmm. You know, no one's got money to splash around.
Right.
So it just depends on your own means, but you'll find your team. And so that would be my last piece of advice to you if you were creating your book. And I tell you what, they'd be lining up for you, Jackie.
You're so cute, Henry. You're the best. You are I'm such a big fan of yours, but you really are one of mine. Thank you.
The thing is, I'm not going to deny it. You know, if they put me under police question, if the cops got hold of me and said, is it true? Are you really a fan and an absolute follower of Jackie Zook? And I'm like, okay, I'm guilty. Yeah, take me away.
Well, I am one of you, Henry. Please know
I am. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so I want you to tell my audience too more about, like, when do you know when the book is exactly going to be out? Can you tell a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I'll tell you the way it works. Here's the good news, guys, because before, like everything, there was no disruptors. So you had to work through publishing houses, okay? that actually is the creme de la creme. That's what you want. You do want that credibility. You can't substitute it. The truth is, though, it's very, very hard to crack. Very hard. we have nibbles. We're beyond ourselves. And that's because of the team effort. I think at one point Parrish was like, I am not leaving my desk, whether I have to sleep on it until because nobody answers the phone.
Right.
And she got through, and then Kim on the other way. I mean, it's a joint team effort. but if you don't, then there's self-publishing. And there's company, I Skype to a company, and there's many of them that will take you through self-publishing. There is an actual, formula. So from Woe to Go, this is how you have to look at it. If you are going to go through a publisher, guess what? You present the whole transcript and then they re-edit it.
That's the best scenario. Let's talk
about that. Yes, and it takes more time, so you've got to factor in more time. So the thing is, you've got to look at it like this. Okay, so if you get a publisher, then you can start telling people you've got a publisher. That already then feeds into the business side of making sure your book sells. Because if they're going to take you on, you better make sure you're supporting that marketing. So that's the beginning of that. So when you say how long, till it comes out, don't forget the impact is as follows. I kept really quiet on Peninsula about now, about the potential of my book. And that's a year and a half. I've never sat on my tongue longer in my life.
I'm sure.
You're sure, all right.
I've always checked in here and there too, So I've known the secret updates, but you never see it online, You don't talk about it much, so.
No, and I'm going to keep that low key. So the first phase is that you're writing the book. A lot of people will get it. Some people won't get it. That's good too. That's called dry cleaning. That's no problem with that. And then the next phase is you either talk about the fact you've got a publishing degree, so that's already going into benefiting your own personal brand, or you elect to self-publish. If you elect to self-publish, speed up the process. Because really, Amazon.com, hello? Amazon is
they make it so calling, easy, right.
Yes. And we're going to be calling Australia AustraliaZon.com in a moment. So it makes it easy, and so it speeds it up. So from the time you've finished writing the transcript, with an independent publisher like Amazon or something like that, add another 6 months. If you are using a publisher, I would say add a year, because not only that, they're going to strategize it. So obviously for us, we want to try and get the Father's Day market. That's September 2020, right? But that might not happen. So then there'll be, it takes time. But the trick, the one thing I can all pass on to you is, start thinking about your second book in the middle of your first book was the best piece of advice, because that's how what happens is
you keep the hype up. Well, you keep the hype up because people bought the first one and then they're going to want to know the sequel. Totally true.
And what's so interesting, even the opposite. I have to come to my terms with myself as I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, guess what? Not everybody knows you as an author. Get real. So if I can do a nice indent for the first one, and then and then people like that, and then they hear the second one's coming out, what possibly will happen is the second one will sell better, and then they'll go back to the first one.
That is really so interesting.
Yes, yes.
Would not think of that.
Yeah. So I have to say that, and for me personally, I am dragging my brains to the finish line.
It's like now
every bit of my body and my brains hurt. They really do. Because my father... Because this all started with my father being told by the doctor at 93, you've got about 3 months. My father's memory is going to recede. I'm looking at it thinking all these stories are going to evaporate in front of me. I will have to regret it for the rest of my life. But oh no, Reggie has gone the
going other way. Strong. He is going strong.
Jackie, honestly, the 6 months that I did the audio with him, I had to throw it away almost. We had to re-interview him. It's a different story. It's a different story, but I tell you, I've written it as a movie. I've written it with a movie in mind. This is going to be a movie. 100%.
I'm in. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to attend the red carpet. I'm inviting myself.
Oh my God. You and all your team that are followers of you. Absolutely. So
awesome.
And that's the other thing. It's about positivity. That's how my father, and also a huge lesson I learned. Do not make the reader... Leave room for the reader to make their own conclusions. biggest lesson of my life. Don't pontificate. Get off the soapbox. Let the story have its own conclusions. Oh, very, very. That took me about 3 weeks. I'm sure that's true
because you just want this ending, but it almost, you have to let it flow, right? That's the only way to figure that out.
And you have to let people make their own conclusions.
Right. Jackie. Good point.
You have to. Tell me something. Has this stimulated you into thinking about your book?
Oh my God, very much so. I just can't even think about, I'm not a good writer.
You'd be surprised.
Really?
Okay. So let's get real here. Okay. We're talking real now.
Okay.
If I might say that, you might think that, okay, but then you get a ghostwriter.
Oh, good point.
It's easy. Your points, you know. You could sit down here and tell me the syrup of how you got from the closet and then went on to all the... No.
I love that phrase, though. It's so true. Yep, I'm listening.
We all get out of a different closet in a way, right? But you did. You told me yourself. You came from New York City. You knew nobody. It's a starting from scratch story. Here you are. You've got 500,000 people listening to you. You just did the Miss America thing. I've been following you secretly. I'm one of those ghosters, okay?
Except you're not ghosting because you're openly talking about it right now.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, so... Oh God, that's the wrong term, isn't it? Yeah, so I'm ghosting. And so you know, the bottom line is, then you literally do get a ghostwriter. So what, then if somebody like you, because there's a lot of people like, that's nice, Henry, but I don't write. Then you write down, but you would know what you want the content to be, and you do start, and then you'd be surprised when somebody starts helping you write, you know what you don't want. And that helps you to do write what you do want.
Good point.
I'm telling you, and it has to be your voice.
Right.
This happens to be an interesting project because it's me authoring my father's voice. I'm about 5 people at the moment. I swear to God, I am.
I love that analogy, but it's so true. I know that it's true. That's so funny.
So, Jackie, when you're ready to do your book or anybody is ready to do their book, I'm happy via your auspices. So if anybody wants to contact you directly and if you would like to pass it on, because this is, you are the source, you are the human pulsation of what your organization is about, and I believe people must always be given credit. So if you wouldn't mind, if anybody's interested, to contact you, would that be cool?
Of course, but I also think you need them to follow you on social media for your book launch, where they can buy it. Tell us everything.
Okay, so coming up now is, so okay, I'm glad you asked that question.
Why wouldn't I? You know that's my thing. Go for it.
I'm joking. You're born on it. Okay, so the best way really to contact me is on Instagram, the stories I told my son. That works as a visual, that also just direct message me. And that's the best way because honestly, I'm not looking at email. You know how many emails I've got in my email box?
I'm sure.
9,000. No, listen, 9,356.
I love the specifics. Oh my God, I can't.
You know how come I do? Because my friend, my German friend who's staying with me from Berlin said, oh, you have so many inboxes. I said, yes. So I sent a snap of it to my friend in Canada. The secret reader goes, oh my God. No wonder I can't get hold of you.
That's hysterical.
So, yeah, so the story I told my son.
You are, Henry is amazing on Facebook and Instagram. So if you want to find Henry, that's where to find him.
That's it. And as far as when it's going to come out, I'll tell you something. When we get the publishing deal, you'll be able to hear me screaming and shouting joy.
Can't wait. Yeah.
It's happening.
No, I know it's happening, but I just want to know when it's happening now. It's going to happen soon.
So when it's happening now is that it won't be long until we actually, you're getting things out of me that not even my father has been able to. I would say that the transcripts are going to be in the right hands by the middle to end of March, something like that.
So exciting.
I'm going to go to Europe on my Polish passport for 2 weeks. And
as
just chill
you
out.
Deserve, you yes. deserve that.
And then I'm going to use the advice. And so the best piece of advice as well, you have to be fit mentally and physically. And I was not fit physically. I got into a blob state. We all go through that. Maybe we don't. It's the worst thing I could have done. And now I'm a born again, you know, I'm off the sugar. Sugar's like the worst drug ever.
I know.
Sugar is legal. God, it just kills you.
It's
anyway.
It's so good, so though. It's so bad for you, but it's so good at the same time.
Yeah. What's your favorite sugar sin that you can't live without?
Anything ice cream. Oreo ice cream. I love ice cream.
Well, guess what? You're going to have to come to Australia, and I'm going to take you on an ice cream tour.
Oh, my God. I'm in. I am in. Yeah. Sounds amazing. Yeah,
we do. I'll send you some links. There's some amazing ice cream companies here.
Oh my god!
Like out of control.
What's Henry's ice cream sugar sin? We're calling it.
Yeah, my sugar sin. It's an Australia. Okay, true confessions of a Lamington eater, and that is Lamingtons are this Australian. It's a famous Australian sort of cake. And what it is you take a square of sponge, so you have to cut the sponge up, and there has to be lots and lots and lots of butter and sugar and lots of
sounds
as much
amazing.
As possible.
Sounds amazing.
And then you dip it in jam and something else, and then you've got sort of like coconut shavings on it, and then they put cream in the middle. Basically, they're about a million calories.
Sounds like it, but it sounds like it's worth it. That's all I got to say.
Great with a cup of tea. Great with an Aussie cup of tea. Can't be done. Can't be there with a billabong.
Oh yep. My God, I love it. Okay, so I also want to ask, when you go to Europe, where do you want to go?
It's a big wide world out there, and we'll just see. Sydney's always going to be my base, but I think that I'm looking forward to exploring.
I love it. Well, I just figured, because you were saying you're going to treat yourself and go away. I want to know what your plan is.
It might be via the secret. It depends whether the secret reader and his wife are going to be in Calgary. If they're going to be in Calgary, I'm going to go by Calgary.
Awesome.
Otherwise, I'm going to then be meeting up some friends in Spain. Then I'm going to go to Munich, and then I'm going to go to Italy. And I'm going to speak all those languages. I'll learn them in about 3 seconds.
I'm sure you will. It sounds amazing and so well-deserved.
Will you join me?
I know. I need to come. I love Europe. I need to go. I might really think about it.
What I've said to you, does it make? I want to make sure that it's covered. Things that are practical for people. And I loved your question about, you're not a writer, because that's where ghostwriting is a whole industry. And again, if you have an intern ghostwriter or whatever it is, if you don't have that budget.
Right.
Yeah. You'll know what's not you, and they'll learn your voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing. I now speak, when I speak, I am my father. I swear it.
It just happens naturally. I mean, you are your father, kind of, because you know, he did produce you into this world, but it's fine.
Oh, yeah. As he says to everybody, does this look like a milkman was involved?
Oh, my God. So funny. I can't.
Anyway.
All right. So everybody definitely needs to follow Henry on the stories I told my son on Facebook and Instagram, and definitely reach out to him through Instagram. He's definitely Instagram savvy. Times 10. So want to put that out there. Henry, I wish you guys so much luck with your new book. I cannot wait to continue to follow and share it everywhere.
So everybody, you know what? I love working with you for many reasons. One of them is, honestly, your genuine, authentic passion. You don't take people on. It's obvious that you don't believe in. And you support people who are small entrepreneurs. And you make a big difference, Jackie. So thanks so much.
Thanks, Henry. All right, everybody, thanks so much for tuning in to Becoming Next on Scene, and stay tuned for who's next on Scene.
The ups, the downs, and all the in-between. What it takes to become next on Scene. Are you next? Follow us at Next on Scene.